Right now, I have the great honor and privilege to introduce a man who has touched my heart, has moved me in more ways than one, and has created a newfound love for Christ. And it's my great pleasure to introduce Pastor Neil Ortiz.
Muchas gracias, Monte Ortiz. Huh? Good job. Thank you. Hey, guys, on your tables, you're going to have an announcement sheet. I just want to bring some things to your attention. And just as Monte said, my name's Neil. I serve as the pastor of Challenge Men's. And so, again, as you've heard before, we're glad that you're here with us. We're glad that you're here locking arms with us so that we as men can march forward together as Christian men in this world. Again, let me bring to your attention that we have something new to our ministry. We're calling it the Challenge Men's Home Rehab. And so that has two components. And I want to have Kyle wave his hands back there. There's Kyle. Wave him. All right. If you want to learn more about this, connect with Kyle at some point this morning, perhaps even afterwards. And here's basically the breakdown. We're partnering with a ministry here in the city called Love, Inc., in the name of Christ. What they do is they help churches to identify authentic need within the community. And so specifically when there might be people within our own church, people from another church in the city, or even somebody that's not yet in Christ that has a legitimate need, they'll go and pay a visit to their home. They'll vet that need just to make sure it's authentic. If there are home repairs that need to take place, that's where we as men step in. We have one of the men of our ministry by the name of Eric Gibson. He, along with Kyle, are coordinating this effort. You can serve in two ways. If you're a contractor or you have enough type of contracting knowledge, you can be a part of the team that Eric's a part of. He then, after Love, Inc. vets the need and authenticates it, goes to the house and actually identifies what it's going to take to be able to meet that need. So we're not talking about full-on home remodels. We're not talking about putting on an addition, but we're talking about coming alongside people who might have been in the middle of rehabbing their bathroom and due to illness or injury, it's unfinished. Or they might have had some explosive situation at home and somebody went ballistic all over the sheetrock and they need some sheetrock repair. Or you might have a situation where the yard is overgrown and it's an elderly woman and she doesn't have anybody that can come alongside her. So it's those kinds of needs for Challenge Men's Home Rehab that we want to rally you guys around to be able to contribute some blood, sweat, and tears to spreading the name of Christ and his love to people in need, specifically with regard to their home. So again, touch base with Kyle afterwards if you want to learn more about that and how you can get involved. Tying into that, the next mention there on your list is the Calvary, or the Challenge Men's, rather, Benevolence Fund. Now, thank God, we provide the burritos and the coffee at no charge. We do have a glass jar over there for anybody who wants to make contributions to the fund. And so that's purely out of your own free will, just contributing. In the past, those resources have gone to help single moms with expensive bills, families in need pay utility bills, as well as most recently even, we had a woman here in the city new to the church. She was following behind her husband in her vehicle as he was up ahead, and she heard the accident that he was in that instantly took his life. They had only moved here just a few months prior from Illinois, or actually from Michigan, and we were able to, with those resources, pay for the plane ticket for her and her daughter to be able to go back to Michigan in order to be with family so that they could lay her husband's body to rest. So those are some ways the funds have been used in the past. Going forward, we want to partner it with the rehab project so that those monies are also going to be available for purchasing supplies that we'll need in order to go to someone's home and apply some paint or, again, some sheetrock, whatever it might be. I want to bring to your attention that in this weekend's bulletin, there's going to be more information about how you guys as men can get involved with either our Welcome Home Center here at the church. It's in this foyer here, this northeast foyer of the main building. It says Welcome Home. We have a group of people there that literally welcome the people in and connect with them. Then there's also the opportunity to connect with people who respond to either a recommitment or a first-time commitment in Christ. When they go forward after a service, we take them into that back prayer room. We call that team of people the after-service counselors. Let me encourage you guys to take advantage of the opportunity to serve in both of those ways. And uniquely as challenged men, you'll have an opportunity to be a man right then and there at that critical time, either somebody being new to the church or new in Christ, to be able to reach out your hand, give them a nice firm handshake, and invite them into our fold here as men. And so I want you to consider it as a targeted opportunity for God to use you uniquely in those two settings to connect with men, to get them in our boat with us, all right? And then furthermore, we have, as we mentioned to you every week, book studies through the men's ministry. I'm going to have the three leaders, Stephen, Daniel, and who else is here? Rascon, come on. Martin, get up. Okay, guys, wave your hands in the air. These guys are leaders of three of our book studies. Martin over there, he leads a study through a book called Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secret of a Man's Soul. I like that book because it talks to men like men, and it encourages us to be men in Christ. So he's taking a group of guys through that book. Daniel and Dave Slade are taking some guys through The Purpose-Driven Life, trying to find our identity and also our purpose for this life that Christ has given us. You can join Daniel and Dave for that. And then Stephen over here, his book is titled Playing Hurt. And I love it again, A Guy's Strategy for Winning in Marriage. Some of you guys need some marital rehab, right? Tell you what, I always need work on my marriage. That's for sure. And so that's a book study. If you guys want to get involved in any of those, make sure you make eye contact with them at some point this morning and touch base with them. Or their phone numbers are here. You can give them a call. Next men's rally is going to be in 1 month on, I know it says March 1st, but what's today's date? I got a little oversight there. So it'll be the first Saturday of April. All right, guys? And then lastly, let me encourage you to go to challengemen.org for other men's Bible studies, challenge men's connect groups, and also to find more information about our book studies. I'm going to hand it off now to Johnny Martinez. He's going to come up and he's going to give us some information on the upcoming 8th annual Challenge Men's Big Rally and Car Show and how you guys can get involved.
Hey guys, how you doing? All right, cool. Hey, well, my name's Johnny. Some of you know me, some of you don't. Within the last year, I've been pretty involved with men's ministry, and I'm also working here at the church with the ministry coordinator. But before that, I was unemployed for a year and a half, and it was a hard time for me. A lot of, you know, skeletons playing in my head and stuff, going crazy. So I decided to volunteer here at the church, and that's where everything started changing, and I got more involved. My life kind of changed around since then. I'm surrounded by a bunch of good men helping me with my walk. And what I'm here to do, here to tell you today, is our men's rally coming up on June 20th. It's Friday, June 20th. We're going to set this place on fire because we're going to use this whole campus for the men's rally this year. From the basketball courts over here to the skate park in the mix. We're going to try to get the most cars we ever had. We're going to do bring in some lowriders, have a lowrider hopping contest. We're going to have some graffiti work going on, a little art exhibition going on. It's going to be a little bit of everything for everyone. Well, the trick to this is the leaders here are only so many of us, and we're all spread pretty thin. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look towards you because we're going to need everyone's help. Every man sitting here right now can help us out. You can come up with 100 different reasons why you can't help us out, but let the Lord talk to you, and He'll show you how you can help out with just one way, even if it's sitting and greeting people. But we're going to have opportunities to be involved with the actual car show. We need leaders to serve as pit crew leaders. But you can talk to me all about this. That's my little section over there against the wall of the windows. There's some tables. If you're going to help us volunteer, we need to put you through a process to get you registered as a volunteer for our church, and that's my job. So you come and talk to me. I'll tell you all the opportunities to get involved with the men's rally. It's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy. I don't know. I wish I could sit and tell you, but I'll be here an hour telling you all the stuff we're going to do and how God's going to make this event just off the chain. It's going to be really cool.
We're going to learn a little bit more about Monte this morning before we get into some chewing on God's Word with Pastor Jared Grebe. And guys, let me just tell you how refreshing it is to get together with just brothers in Christ, just men. Because if any of you are like I am, man, I can go up and down. There's days where you feel so empowered and invigorated and qualified and adequate. And then there's the other days, man. And then there's those weeks where you might just feel beat down, discouraged, frustrated, maybe even hopeless. Guys, I'm just telling you right now, you have to know that you're in good company. Because God has insulated us in a morning like this. And for any of you guys that huddle up together at various places throughout the week with men who are living real lives with real challenges, real issues, and real experiences, man, you're not alone. Can I just assure you of that? You are not alone. And so whether it's me as a pastor here or Jared, don't ever think we don't live those lives like you guys live. That we don't face those challenges you face. In fact, I feel so much more accountable to make sure I've only got one option, and that is to trust God to take me through it, man. That's it. That's it. And that's the same option available to you. And thank God He is more than enough, right? All right. But again, my name is Neil, and you've been introduced to Monte. And I want us to find out a little bit more about Monte. So Monte, why don't you share with the guys who you are? Tell us a little bit about your family, and I think I'd also mention to you, let the guys know a few things that you're passionate about in life, man.
Well, I've already introduced myself. My name's Monte Olivas. I am a proud father of three children. Two of my sons are with me. If they would please stand up. This is Jacob. He's a second semester student in UNM College. And my younger of my sons, Joshua, who's a freshman in the Chisco Heritage and serves in the Marine Corps ROTC. And my daughter, who can't be with us, is 8 years old, and her birthday is coming up, and she is the gem of my life. So her name is Janessa. To tell you a little bit about myself would take hours, but I'll narrow it down just to a few things. I grew up in the streets of the South Valley, doing the wrong things, and 4.5 years ago, my son, who sits in this stand today, called me out, told me, "You're known for being a man of your word, but you aren't a man of your word. You have not been honorable to my mother as God has commanded you to." And he said he didn't believe in God. That was something that took me way back. He told me he never wanted to grow up to be like a man, like me. Wow. Wow. And so since that day, I took a stand to be different from the world. And in that moment, I knew that then and there that I needed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To strengthen me as a man, to be the man of God He has called me to be, and to be the father I needed to be to my children, and the husband I needed to be to my wife, and be a true man of our word. So that's a little bit of how I got to serving Christ. And my passion, as you can see, is being a abiding man in Christ and being faithful to one and only our Lord and Savior. That is my passion, that is my goal, and that is the legacy I choose to leave behind when I go.
Right on, Monte. Thank you, brother. You know, some of us here that can identify with where you grew up and maybe even grew up in those same surroundings, same kind of people. As you guys know, for six of the last 7 weeks, God, through Pastor Skip, from our pulpit, has been addressing the subject of submission. We talked about that last month when we gathered in February. And so as we're talking to Monte now, isn't it interesting how God can use something like your children to bring you into a, let's just say like a hold, like a grapple hold, to bring you to a place where you submitted to God uniquely like you'd never done before. Before we get to how God has utilized your life and changed it over the last 4 years since you've been submitting to Him, Monte, what would it have been like if somebody were to tell you that scripture you read at the beginning of our time together, that you had to submit to every ordinance of man before you were in Christ? What would your response have been to somebody like that? Or just even that notion of submitting to every ordinance of man for Christ's sake?
Well, I could tell you that I wouldn't submit. I can tell you that I've been a very powerful man on the streets and in other organizations. And I would get submission from anyone by one means or another, either because you feared me or because I beat you to a pulp. I had a very large wall created around my heart. And so in order to overcome, when my son called me out, I crawled into a fetal position and cried like a little baby. And I didn't understand how to fix it. You know, we as men, we think we can fix anything, right? Oh, I'm a man. I can fix it. We can't fix it alone. We must fix it with the power of God, with the power of our Lord and Savior.
Dude, love it, man. Love it. Tell you what, who here can identify with Monte having been called out either by your wife or by your kids, either before you came to know Christ or even in Christ, where they just put it to you right there in front of your face, undeniable, can't move around it, and you get to this place where you're broken, you have to submit to what God has just told you through your wife or your kids. Raise your hand, man. I'll tell you, it's happened to me. Guys, hearing stories like Monte is one of the reasons that we get together like this. It's why we have tables and you guys are sitting around tables, and in a little bit you're going to talk a little bit more with each other. It's why we get together in various forms throughout the week to learn more about each other. If we didn't have this opportunity to hear from Monte, we might not ever know his story. We just look at him walking through the halls of the church, and our assumption, for some crazy reason for most of us, is, hey, look at that guy. He's probably got his act together, unlike I do, or unlike I don't have my act together. But guys, we're all crackpots healed by Christ. And so, Monte, take us back to that time 4.5 years ago and walk us through until now. How has God used this requirement of his of submission to make you into a man that's different today than the man you were 4.5 years ago?
Well, no one can break your heart more than your children. Okay? And I always thought I was a man's man, right? I coached my son. I took care of him. I provided. And hearing my son tell me those words broke me from the inside out. It was like getting beat up without really getting beaten up. And I realized in that split moment that I was a failure as a father, as a husband, and that I needed to change. And I sat there and I thought back when my life was the greatest and when things just made sense. And that was when I was serving the Lord with my whole heart. I had been led astray. I had been led to think I was my own God. Through that, I made a commitment that day to Jesus Christ that I would be faithful all the days of my life. And I can remember my son, Jacob, sitting right here in front of me, telling me, "You'll go back to your old self, Dad. You always do." Those were the hardest words that I've ever heard. And I took a stand that I would never return to that old man. And through the power of God, I have poured myself into knowing the Father we love and serve. Reading daily, asking questions, leaning on grown men. You see, I may look strong,
But we're all broken inside, men. We're not here because we have it all together. We're here because we all need help. We come to church to get refreshing, to get away from the world. We call this our home. When you get home, you're happy to be home, right? When I walk on this campus, I'm happy to be here with my brothers. Through the strength of God putting wonderful men in my life, I have overcome lots of things. I've overcome my pride. As you can see, a man of my stature would never cry in front of a public venue. And some of you men have probably never cried in front of other men ever. God has come in and reconstructed my life and tore down the walls of my heart. And He uses me as a living testimony that if He could change this piece of turd, He could change anyone. You know, before I started reading the Word, I could barely read. Most of us have a high school education and no other education. And through the power of Christ, I've become a very diligent learner of the Word. When I first started, I had to read the Children's Bible, ICB, International Children's Bible. Didn't understand the words. We can't understand how to follow God if we don't understand what we're reading. So us as men, our pride says, well, I want the real book, King James Version. Right? Because I'm a man, I could do it. But those words are so difficult and so hard, we don't even understand what we're reading. And in which case, that does us no good. Right? So we must start off as baby Christians with milk. And the ICB Bible to me was my milk. And I raced through from ICB to the NLT, to the NIV, to the New King James Version that we read now, all the way to the King James 1350, one of the oldest living translations. Some of you have never heard of that translation. It's a very hard book to find. But as you climb through those books, it gives you better definitions, better understanding. And when you don't know, we must humble ourselves and turn to our brothers in Christ and ask. Ask for help. It's something as men we are stubborn to do, right? We'll be down the street and our wife is saying, are we lost? And you're saying, no, we're not. I know exactly where we're going, right? And we'll keep driving around in circles and circles. Well, that's kind of how we've done as men in our families. We've kind of went in circle and circle and not wanting to submit to the Lord, right? We've went circles and circles trying to do it our own way, right? Because we're stubborn, pig-headed men. God knew we'd be that way. And He uses that for us to grow. He uses men like me, who you guys look at and say, well, he's strong. He looks mean. But he's broken me. And he's broken me through my family. And I can sit up here and tell you, man, I have never loved my wife and appreciated my wife as much as I have in these last 4 years, in the last past 18 years of marriage. I've been married to my wife for 18 years, and the first 14 years of her life was, I can say, hell. Because I was the most ungodly, unappreciative man there was. And through the power of Christ, I'm getting a second chance. Amen? Yeah.
Man, stand up. Stand up. Monte, stand up. Okay, guys. Yeah, let's do it. Woo, woo, woo. God just scored a touchdown. Woo. Yeah. Right on. Man, have a seat. Spontaneously, you did what I was going to ask you to do, man. Cheer for God like He just scored a touchdown because He took yet another one of us, snatched us from the grip of hell, and gave us a new life, guys. Now you understand better what he meant when he said, hey, I could talk for an hour, not about himself, but about how Christ has changed his life, guys. So, Monte, thank you so much, brother. Woo! Thank you, brother. So to learn more from guys and about guys like that, every one of you guys has a story, man. And some of you listen to Monte, and it took you back to when God busted you in a similar way, perhaps. And you can now go to that man and identify with him and say, hey, I've walked that road. There's other guys right here. This week is when God busted your chops through the voice of that child or that spouse. And you need to go over there and say, hey, Monte, I'm where you were 4.5 years ago, man. Help me to walk, because I don't know exactly where to go from here. And then there's some of you guys in here, you're broken. Your brokenness is yet future. But when it happens, because gentlemen, it will, you can identify a Monte or one of these other men you're going to learn about today and say, hey guys, I need you. That's why it's important to step up and get connected like you guys are doing now. I'm going to introduce to you our guest teacher this morning. He's a pastor on our staff, Jared Grebe. Let me tell you why I want you to listen to Jared. This man also has a story of submitting to Christ. And of all the men that I work with, something I can tell you that's very special and unique about Jared is he's like one of those artists that has that special touch for that detail when it comes to comforting people, connecting with people. And so I've appreciated learning Jared in a way that I've experienced God use him uniquely to be an encouragement and a comfort to almost everybody he comes in contact with. And so that, my friends, as my brother in Christ, is why I want you to pay special attention to what God is going to say through him this morning. Again, would you do me a favor and welcome Jared Grebe.
Thank you, Neil, so much. I appreciate those words. Thank you guys for having me. And it's an honor to be here. My name, like you said, is Jared Grebe. I work here as a pastor, specifically with the mid-high students. But it's an honor to be here and to get to speak to the men of this church. And guys, we're going to recap what we've seen in this past month through Skip's teachings and through God's Word, starting back all the way in 1 Peter, the beginning of chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So you can get your Bibles out and turn there. But there was a consistent theme that we saw through those teachings. Skip split it up into three different teachings, 1 through 6, 7, verse 7, and then 8 through 12. Can anybody here tell me what that theme is that we saw? What was the thing that kept coming up, a word that can sum it all up? Can anybody here tell me what that is? Submission. Man, boy, that's a fun thing to get to talk about to a giant group of men. This is going to be great. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm kidding. But why is that word so scary to us? Why is it that when we hear that word submission, we kind of peacock at it? We kind of flex at it. We're like, those are fighting words, like Skip said, right? Well, it's because, guys, as our culture and our society as men, we see submission as something that's for the women. We see submission as a sign of weakness. And it makes sense, right, that we think that way. When we look at our culture, I mean, think about it. One of the most popular sports, one of the sports watched most by men in our culture is the UFC. There's nothing more manly to us than two dudes totally going at each other, fighting it in a cage, fighting it out. And the whole point of it is to either knock that dude out or to get him in an armbar or a chokehold and to get him to submit, to get him to admit defeat. You see, we see power in control over someone. We see power the way the world sees power sometimes in our society, the way our flesh sees power is control over someone. But if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves Christian men, we need to realize and reevaluate what true power really is and what God has displayed to us as powerful. Because even though we see submission as weakness, God has displayed submission as power. That's the title of our message today, Submission as Power. Look at Jesus, who submitted to the cross and defeated death. What's more powerful than that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Guys, even though our submission looks different than it does for the women, it's one of the biggest tools in our arsenal to be effective for the kingdom of God. If there's anything extremely crucial that we can glean from this past month's teachings, I would say the biggest thing to me is we need to repent of the way we see submission and start implementing it into our lives. As Christian men, we need to love our wives submissively. We need to
be submissive in the way we love one another so that an unbelieving world can see Christ's power in us. We need to see submission as power. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity just to speak to the men of this church, God. I need this teaching more than anybody in here. And God, you've just spoken so deeply to me about this specific issue. But Lord, so many times we see it skewed. We see it backwards. That's our nature, Lord, is sinful. We don't see the truth. We don't see it correctly. But when we look at your word, we're challenged to change, to become a new creation in Christ, and to see the world through the scope of your word. And so, Father, I just pray that we would feel your presence in this place this morning, Lord, that we would glean from these truths that we hear every week, Lord, and they wouldn't just motivate us, Lord, but they would mold us into the godly men you need us to be for your kingdom's sake. We pray this all in your mighty Son's name. Amen. So the first point we're going to see is how we view them, how we view them. What I'm talking about is in our Rock Solid series, week 16, we were in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'm not going to go through the entire text, but I'm going to skim through the beginning. It says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." And Peter continues on through verse 6, and he mostly addresses the women of the church, and specifically women in a relationship with an unbelieving husband, being submissive. Now, guys, it's easy for us to think that there's not a lot we can get out of that. Well, that's just for the women. But already, we're not being submissive to the fact that all God's word is good for all of us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." There's still a lot we can take away from parts of this message, and some of it you guys discussed in your questions. Peter was writing to women in a culture where they were treated as if they were just property. They weren't a person at all. Now, we might not live in that same culture, but women are still treated this way in areas of our culture. You don't have to go further than the local strip club to see women treated as objects rather than people. Our culture may not take it to the same extreme that the Romans did, but guys, as Christian men, we need to ask ourselves, do we sometimes treat the women in our lives, our wives or women that we know, as if this were the case? Do we sometimes look like Roman jerks? Yeah, I think a lot of us, if we're being honest, could say, yeah, we do. Maybe not to the same extreme, but we can start to think of women as just someone that's to serve our every need, someone who's to be our servant, and that's their function, is to be our little submissive servants. I know for me personally, I'm guilty of thinking this way sometimes. I might not say I believe that, but my actions show that that's how I'm seeing it. There's been times in my marriage where I don't even realize I'm treating my wife this way, and the only thing that really wakes me up to it is she'll kind of poke fun at me. She'll say, "Yes, King Jared, is there anything else I can do for you, Your Majesty?" And I kind of have to stop and slow down and think, man, I'm really asking a lot of her, and I'm not doing a lot for her. That's not godly living, guys. That's not living as the Christian men we've been called to live as. That's a bad pattern we can get into. The way we view our wives, the women in our lives, we can view them as lesser or inferior to us. We can look at this text and totally get it wrong and say, yeah, that's right, you're the woman, you need to submit to me because I'm superior. The reality is, guys, is that there are equals. We need to see them as our equals, as someone God has given to us to serve and love, not someone who's been given to us as our personal slave. Skip specifically mentioned in Galatians 3, "There is no longer male or female, for you are all one in Christ." They are under us, guys, but they are not inferior to us. It's easy to look at this text and think, yeah, woman, you better submit to me. I'm the authority, I'm the man. God says so. Skip even poked fun at us, saying that there's guys who don't know any other scripture but this one. But this scripture specifically here, they can tell you it in the Greek, French, Italian. They can translate it a million different ways. But Skip explained to us from the scriptures, our women are not to submit to us because we're better than them. It's not a matter of superiority, it's rather functionality. Just because God's established the man as the leader of the household, it doesn't make you better than the people who are in your household. Think about it practically. Is your boss at work a better person than you because he's the leader of your company or your occupation? No, but you submit to him because he's been established as the leader. You serve a different role at your work than your boss. He is over you, but that doesn't make him better than you. It simply brings order to a social setting. Guess what, guys? The family is the first social setting. And that's what God's establishing here. Men, don't treat your wives as if they are your servants, but rather live to serve them. And all this stuff, guys, I know it sounds really good. It sounds really great. And it may motivate us when Skip's teaching us about it, or if I'm up here, or whoever's up here teaching about it. But what I want to ask you, is it becoming a reality in your life? That's great if you agree with it, but that's not enough. Agreeing with it is not enough. It needs to penetrate your heart. You need to be here eager, hanging on to every word God gives you, like your life depended on it. Taking notes, revisiting it throughout the week, and saying, God, give me this kind of heart. Give me this desire. Give me this view to view my wife this way. Guys, are they still submissive servants that are to bow to your every demand? Or are you seeing them as a precious gift that God's given you to serve in love? How we view the women in our lives, how we view our wives, guys, will truly dictate a lot of the way we love them. And that brings us to our second point, how we love them. The following week, we were in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, this text specifically addressed us men. And Skip specifically tied this back to the theme Peter's been primarily talking about through the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, which is this idea of submission, saying, husbands, you in the same way or likewise. It ties us back to what he's just been telling the women, to submit. He says he ties us to it, you in the same way. So submission is mutual, and that was the first applicable point Pastor Skip gave to us. Listen, men. God has established us as the leaders of the household. We just talked about that. And that means he's holding us as responsible to lead our families. If your wife isn't being submissive to you, could it be that you're leading by a poor example? Submission is mutual. Look at that. That's profound. That's radical. If you're loving your wife submissively, she has much more incentive to submit to you as your leader, as her leader. How do we love our wives submissively? How do we do that? What's a practical way? Well, back in December, me and a buddy of mine, a close buddy of mine, we decided, you know what, man? We need to do something manly. We haven't done anything manly. And so we're thinking, you know, we want to do something to establish ourselves more as men. You know, we're getting older. We've got families now and wives and kids. And I just want to do something manly. So what do you do? What do you do? What's the first thing you do if you really want to establish yourself as a man now? What's a practical way? You grow a beard. You got to grow a beard. Having a great beard is pretty manly. So we make a pact, me and my friend. We make a pact to grow our beards out. So we start growing them out, and I've been growing mine for about 2 months at the time, and it's coming in great. It's looking really nice, and I'm just loving it. I'm loving the attention it's getting, and I'm loving going places. I swear, I even felt like everywhere I went, like I'd go into Lowe's, and men suddenly treated me with like more respect because I had this beard now. I finally got more respect from men. So I'm loving having this beard. And me and my buddy, we're telling each other every day, yeah, man, your beard's looking great, all this stuff. But then Valentine's Day rolls around. My wife hadn't said a thing about it. And I'm like, ooh, this is great. She hasn't said anything. Well, Valentine's Day rolls around, and I get a text from her, and she says, honey, the only thing I want for Valentine's Day is for you to shave your beard. Oh, boy. Now what do? This beard has established me as a man. I'm getting respect that I've never had before. And I'm thinking, gosh, maybe I can just explain to her, honey, this isn't simply just a beard. There's much more to it than that. But here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for me to love my wife submissively. I could have been defiant. I could have said, no way, I'm shaving my beard. I love it, and it's brought me joy. But do I desire those things more than I desire to serve my wife and to see her happy and to see her desires met? So what do? You see me up here with the shaved beard, right? I shave my beard. Yeah, go ahead. That's a fun little, you know, story to say, yeah, we can love our wives submissively. But it's not so much that I did that, but it was the question I asked myself. Are we asking ourselves these questions when these little things like that come up in our marriages or in our relationships that we have with the women in our lives? Do we consider them? Do we consider them as a priority above ourselves and our own desires? Do we recognize these situations as an opportunity to love our wives submissively? Guys, it's easy not to. It's easy to talk about this stuff, but making it a reality in your everyday life takes hard work. You have to desire to love her submissively. If you don't desire that, then you won't do it. It's a choice. It's that simple. Guys, a lot of us may not be loving our wives submissively, and if that's the case, we need to repent. That word repent in the Greek, metanoeo, literally means to change your mind. Maybe you haven't been loving your wife submissively. Man, change your mind. You need to. And I can tell you, if you're relying on yourself, nothing's going to change. You've got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to desire it and pray Him and seek for that kind of heart, seek for that kind of love to give to your wife. In that verse, Peter tells us also to live with our wives with understanding. Now, to some of us, that seems almost like an impossible command because understanding women can be very difficult. But this is specifically directed to us husbands and single guys. You can carry this with you into marriage when it comes. But guys, with how much we see our wives, we should know them well and study them and know what they're sensitive to, what encourages them, what discourages them, how to make them feel safe and protected. Some of us in here could probably name our favorite ball players' statistics up and down the road, but we couldn't tell you what our wife's favorite restaurant is. Are we submitting our time to them intentionally, studying them so we know them? Skip said it perfect, saying, I have to know her well if I ever hope to love her well. It can be so easy to just get home from work and completely check out. We can go straight to the bed, kick our shoes off, flip on ESPN, and we're gone. We may technically be there with our wives, but really we're off somewhere else in ESPN world. Guys, make it a priority to know your wife well. Spend the time you have with her intentionally, studying her so that you may love her with understanding. I need to be a Morganologist. That's my wife's name, Morgan. Skip had said he's a lineologist. You need to be whatever your wife is, ologist. Love them submissively and submit your time to them. Moving on, lastly, for the sake of time, we saw in week 18, in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12, Peter says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So now we see Peter sum this all up for us, calling us to have a love for the brethren, calling us to have a love for our brothers and sisters. And Peter gives us practical ways to love each other, having compassion towards one another, being sympathetic towards each other, which I felt like Skip said it very well. He explained sympathy. He said, your hurt in my heart. It's a pretty cool way to think about it. Is this how we look, guys? As you look around here, as we see the men of this church, is this really a brotherhood? Are we in this together? Are we carrying each other's pain? Are we carrying each other's burden? Do we look like Frodo and Sam hiking up Mount Doom, carrying each other? We're to be brotherly, and the key phrase for me, Peter points out here, is being humble in spirit. That's what he tied there on the end. A huge part, guys, of loving submissively your wives or the brethren takes humility. If you truly are humble in spirit, if you're praying for that humble spirit, you won't have issues loving your brethren submissively. Pray for God to fill you with humility, for it, to me, is one of the most standout things we can have as Christian men. In our culture, guys, in our society where pride is promoted, humility stands out. It really does. And this brings us back to the main point we've been looking at of submission. All these things require you to be submissive in how we love one another. First, submissive to God because He's called us to living this way, but submissive in practical ways with our brothers and sisters as well. In a church this big, with this many people, we all aren't always going to agree on everything. But like Pastor Skip pointed out, we have to be of one mind. We have to be harmonious when it comes to the things of essentials. God's nature, the person and work of Jesus Christ. We must be harmonious in that and of one mind with those things. But there are going to be things that we disagree about. There's going to be a lot of things that we disagree about. But do you love your brothers and sisters enough to submit your pride, to submit your voice and your opinion in place to honor them and to honor your Father and showing them Christ-like love? Listen, brothers, people in this church, people in your family, people in society, they're not always going to deserve your love. They're not always going to deserve your submissive love, but Jesus does. He deserves it always. And you have to remember, He's called you to this. He's called you to doing this, and you're doing it all unto Him. His word is commanding us to live this way. Are we living this way? To not return evil for evil, but rather give a blessing in return of an insult. That's powerful stuff. That to me is one of the ways we can be most like Christ. 1 Peter 2:23, and while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. Guys, there's a true power in applying this to our lives practically. I remember when I was back in school in ministry, excuse me, I remember I was driving home one time, and usually I just love music, so I always have music playing, but something had really challenged me that day in class to kind of put away distractions. And so that day I decided to turn off the radio and just be in prayer on my way home. I'm just going to give this time to the Lord. I'm going to be seeking You, Lord. Well, in that time, I must have cut this dude off or done something, because all of a sudden this dude's pulling up next to me and he's throwing me the bird. He's cussing up a storm and just going nuts. But guys, when I was in the Spirit, when I was praying, when I was being intentional with my time, seeking God and seeking a humble spirit, I couldn't do anything but react by just kind of submitting and saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God bless you. And the man saw me do that, and it almost made me laugh how he just stopped dead in his tracks. He just like went ghost face. And I'm like, man, that's powerful. And by the time we got to the next light, he kind of signaled to me to roll down my window, and he said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I don't know why I lost it like that. And I said, hey, man, Christ loves you. God bless you, man. Have a good day. And he thanked me and drove off. You know, guys, we can impact so many people by the way we make these truths a reality in our lives. We can impact so many people by the way we love each other as a church. Jesus Himself said, John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are My disciples if you love one another. By living this way, we're not going to just receive a blessing, but we're maybe even more importantly going to attract a lost, dying, unsubmissive, unbelieving world to salvation in Christ. Men, it begins with just simply loving our wives this way. That's where it begins. This really hits home for me because part of the reason I'm here today, a huge part of the reason I have salvation, I can stand here and say I'm a saved person. The reason God's called me to a life of teaching and preaching and shepherding His flock is because I saw Christ in the way a man loved his wife. It's powerful to me. I was not a believer at the time. I was living like hell. I was dating this girl. I'd been in a relationship with her for 5 years, and it was miserable. And I was a horrible leader. I was horrible to her. But her brother was a believer in Christ. He was a follower of Christ. And as I watched him, as I observed him, I just saw this powerful, powerful relationship. I saw the way he loved her. I saw the way he was devoted to her. And I looked at my own relationship, and I said, man, what does he have that I don't? Why is everything in my life such a mess? Why did him and his wife have such a beautiful relationship? And so one day I couldn't help it. I just finally pulled him aside and I said, what is it? I want that in my life. And he said, it has nothing to do with me. He said, I can never love my wife this way. It's Christ through me. Guys, that had a huge impact on me pursuing Christ in my life. Guys, this is the real deal. This is the big game. Every day in life, we're either living it or we're not. And if you're not allowing these truths God's showing us through His Word, through Skip's teachings, every week to become a reality in your life, then you're missing it. You don't want to be on the bench. You don't want to be missing the game. Maybe you feel like God is speaking directly to you right now. You're not loving your wife submissively. You're not having this love, this submissive love for the brethren, not the way that you should. If you're in here today, if God's speaking to your heart, and you feel like, man, I need to repent. I need to change my mind. I need to start loving my wife this way. I need to start having this love for my brothers at the church. Then I just want you to stand up right now. I just want you to take a stand and say, that's me. God bless you, bro. That's awesome. Hey, let's give it up. That's great. That's awesome. God bless you guys. That's awesome. Yeah, give it up. Guys, and the whole point of this, to me, is I look at this and I see all of us men gathering around. It's cool and it's exciting to see. And it can motivate us. But more importantly, is it molding us? For those of you guys who stood up, that's awesome. That's awesome, and that's worthy of applause. That's worthy of being excited about. But for some of you guys, you know, that don't feel like you, maybe you are loving your wife submissively. Well, praise God for that. Because we need to be reaching people through ways like I was reached. And it can be that can be a way that we can reach an unbelieving world, is in the way that we love our wives submissively, in the way that we love our brothers here at the church. And so for you guys that maybe didn't, you know, you don't feel like you need to stand up today because you're doing that, well, kudos to you, and that's awesome. And keep doing that. But like I said, we hear these truths all the time. Make it practical in your life. It's easy, like I said, to be motivated by it, to agree with it. But it really doesn't become your truth until you're practicing it. And so make sure, guys, that we're really all in. That when we come to service, like I said, you're really, truly gleaning from God's word. That you're seeing it penetrate your heart. That you're seeing it effectively change the way you view your wife. The way you view the women in your life. How you're loving them. How you're submitting your time to them. And also how we're loving each other, how we look as a church. It should be so obvious to the world how differently we live. And it's not, guys. Like I said, our motivation can be that, yes, we're going to receive a blessing for it. But even beyond that, it's amazing to see the people that it touches, the people God speaks to through it, and the people we see to come to salvation. It's an exciting thing. Well, I want to thank you guys again for letting me be here today, for teaching with you guys. It's exciting stuff. But before I wrap it up here, would you guys mind just bowing your heads with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for the grace that you've shown us, Lord, and just the truths that we get to see from an amazing pastor, Lord, who you've appointed, and he teaches us so well, Lord. And I just pray that we're taking full advantage of that. That we're truly all in. That we're ready every week to hear these truths and to not just allow them to motivate us, but to mold us. Not just something that we agree with, but a truth that becomes a reality in our life, that truly becomes our own truth. God, it's so powerful, it's so effective, and we see it so often, Lord, just bringing people out of the darkness. And so I just pray for this group of men, Lord. I pray for all these men that they would make this truly a challenge, to challenge themselves, to go harder, to push further, and to walk as closely to Christ as possible. Not to see how much we can get away with, but to see how truly holy we can be, God, when we rely on you, when we rely on your word, when we rely on your truth. I thank you so much, God, for these men. I pray you bless them and just continue to encourage them and lift them up for your name's glory. We pray this all in your mighty son's name. Amen.
Amen. Grebe, thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Booyah. You know, some of you guys, Jared just prayed. We prayed a little bit earlier. For some of you guys, that might be the only prayer you got all week from someone else. Again, one of the many great reasons to connect with one another as men. Guys, we're going to move into our final phase of our time together this morning. With the time we have left, you're going to have an opportunity around the table that you're at to start sharing with one another and listening to one another. Tell about their lives and what these truths mean to them, and perhaps even where you guys are struggling. And so as we have an exchange here of some life, let me encourage you to be a good listener. There might be a guy right at your table. He's going to say something that, man, you identify with. and you're grateful that you now know that about them. You guys could even peel off later this week together and talk a little bit more about it. For some of you guys here, you might say, hey, I'm not married yet, or maybe marriage was in your past and you feel, man, I don't know if that applies to me. Man, if marriage is in your future or it was in your past, that means you have perhaps a little bit extra time that you can come alongside, especially some of the younger guys that are married, and be able to coach them, walk with them, give them some direction, some pointers, and even give them some covering prayerfully in order to help them be the man that God wants them to be to their spouse and to their children. Guys, this is a time for all of us to simply be authentic and real with one another in a similar way to how Monte and how Jared were able to be real with us and let us into their lives a little bit. Now it's time for us to preach our lives in this circle with one another. So we're going to do that till about 10 o'clock. If you need some more coffee, we have any coffee back there? We still have some reserves? Okay, I think we do. If you need to go to the restroom, go, come back. And guys, spend the rest of our time chewing on those discussion questions that you have the sheet there for. God bless you. As you're moving, I'm going to make one final announcement. Some of you guys came with struggling marriages. And Fred Perez, Fred, why don't you come up here real quick? Fred, join me up here. Fred is availing himself to be in the classroom that we took the guys that were new this morning, right through those double doors across that hallway. Right at 10 o'clock, Fred's going to be in there. If you feel like you barely made it, particularly because your marriage is struggling, you don't know what to do, Fred's availed himself to talk to you guys and to give you some encouragement, give you some prayer, and give you some direction. So, Fred, thank you so much for that. 10 o'clock, classroom behind us here. God bless you guys.